Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are rotten to the core, corrupt, even counterproductive. I am Yana. Our number is 877-300-7645. You're encouraged to call. I saw in the news this morning that there was a called a black church. I don't know what a black church is, but nonetheless, it's called a black church. I think it's a denomination that is racist, I guess, by any standard. I mean, if you're calling yourself by a racial name. I guess you'd be racist, but nonetheless, this black church in Charleston was burnt down. Now, I'm told that that was one of seven or so black churches that have been torched in the last week or so. Now, they do not know if this was arson or if it was a lightning strike, and there were lightning strikes in the area. It could have been just an act of nature, but it didn't change the fact that even with the lightning storm, the person who was responsible for the church came out and said, you know, there's still racism out there. Well, you know, if you're attending an all-black church, if the church is actually on the sign, speaks of it being exclusive by race, aren't you exhibiting racism? Now, I do want to make one thing clear, and we've said this on this program a lot in the past. I am a huge proponent of hate speech. Huge. I don't think there's many things we can do that are more productive, more moral, more compassionate than to engage in hate speech. It's one of the great problems of political correctness is that people have lost the ability to be judgmental and to express their disdain over things that are untrue, destructive, counterproductive, deadly, damning. So I think our problem is we have too little hate speech, not too much of it. But that said, there's a huge difference between using your words and acting in a violent way. Torching other people's property is never appropriate under any circumstances. Even if you're Janet in Reno and going to torch the Branch Davidians, you ought not do that kind of thing. That's a really bad idea. Always 100% of the time. Killing people, unless it is in self-defense, is a really bad idea. You ought not be outgoing about killing people. So my hope is that those who do not like this church for whatever reason, and if it's a racial hatred, then you know, your problem is in your own head, your own heart. You need to go and have a serious time out and stop judging people by the color of their skin.
Well, hate them for the things that they have control over. Hate them because they're religious. Hate them because they follow stupid doctrines. Hate them. Yeah. Hate them for any reason other than because they were born.
Their color skin. Now, yeah. I would take exception to some of those things, even though I know where you're going with it, and I agree with a general sentiment. But I don't hate Christians for being deceived. I do hate Christians like Rich Warren, who not only deceive, but deceive to a maximum degree and thereby cause many people to be led astray and to die. I mean, Rich Warren is the guy of the mega church that says that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Now, it is true in a way. They're both worshiping Satan, but not in the way that he means it or that would be consistent with his rhetoric. A Christian organization that indoctrinates young people into this hopeless and untrue religion, to me, is doing something that is hateful. And I'm going to speak out against it. So I'm in opposition to institutions that deceive, damn, and destroy, that are deadly. But I don't hate the victims. I do despise the perpetrators. So I think it's appropriate, Scott, for us to say it's okay to hate those who promote deadly and deceitful and damning doctrines when they deceive and damn and destroy the souls of others. But there's no circumstances ever, ever to hate the victim of deceit or to hate someone based on the color of their skin. But more important than that, there are so few circumstances that justify killing, and war is not one of them. You know, America was not justified in flying over to Afghanistan or Iraq or to Libya or to Pakistan or to Somalia or any of these places and killing. We are not justified in doing so. We should not kill as a initial response, even the police killings. I mean, it's you know, that Tamir Rice murder of the young Cleveland boy. That's just flat-out murder. It's wrong. But, so, that's the first point, is that don't respond hatefully based upon someone's skin color, ever. It's appropriate to hate, but hate doctrines and institutions that mislead and destroy. And third, for those that would say that you cannot and should not ever engage in hate speech, I would ask them, well, do you hate hate speech? Do you speak out against hate speech? And for them to be saying, you know, to condemn hate speech, then they are hating hate speech and speaking out against it, which means that they're hateful of hate speech. Wouldn't that make them guilty of the very thing that they claim to be opposing, and therefore no longer credible? Something to think about. At least 17 people were wounded in a suicide bomb attack on a NATO troop convoy in Afghanistan, just outside of Kabul's airport. The explosion took place close to a busy shopping area in Kabul's downtown district. There were many casualties. So far, at least 17 people, including a woman and three little children, have been taken to hospitals in addition to those who were killed. Five of the wounded, in addition to the 17th killed, are in very serious condition. It was the second major attack in Kabul since the start of, guess what, Ramadan. You see, most Muslims celebrate Ramadan. It is alleged to be the time that Muhammad received the Quran. Too bad they don't read the Hadith about that experience. Too bad they don't read the Quran about what was allegedly given to Muhammad on that day. Because if they did, they would not carry out murderous acts in the name of this ridiculous individual and wannabe God. You see, the story of Ramadan is that Muhammad was out being a pagan. Muhammad didn't like work very much. He wasn't very good at it. He was antisocial, shall we say. And so he went out during the pagan holiday of Ramadan, purely pagan holiday, folks, a holiday devoted to stone gods in one of the most primitive regions of the world. And he was out fasting on behalf of his pagan religion when he met one of the wannabe gods associated with paganism. He explains that this spirit beat him up. You know, the God I know doesn't beat people up. The spirits associated with that God, they're called Malak, messengers. They protect, they enlighten. They do not beat people up. They don't meet with people in caves who are trying to be religious in the dark hours of the night while they're celebrating pagan religious festivals. They just don't do that. He met with a demon. He knew it. After being attacked and beaten to the point of death, Muhammad tried to commit suicide. And he explained to his wife at the time, who was old enough to be his mother, that when he ran back home, that he had tried to commit suicide and that he knew he had been demon-possessed. It's the exact same thing with Paul. If you're a Christian and wondering if your religion is immune from this, it isn't. So in the case of Islam, Muhammad admitted to being demon-possessed. He knew it at the time. He described a demonic experience while being religious. That's the story of Ramadan. There is nothing else to this story other than what Muhammad was asked to do, and we'll consider that in a moment. With Paul, he said that he saw Jesus as a flashing light on the wilderness route to Damascus. Yosha said, if somebody claims to have seen me in the wilderness, do not believe them. That everyone will see me when I return all at the same time. Do not trust, do not follow someone that makes that claim. That's the exact claim that Paul made. It's amazing that people can't put those two things together and reject Paul as a liar. And he claims that his flashing light of a spirit, and by the way, Yosha says he'll come back, he'll be recognizable. You're going to know it, man. He's going to be as bright, so brilliant that everyone's going to see him simultaneously. But, Paul couldn't even keep straight how many people were there when they saw him. And you've got the other issues. He can't remember what he said because he has a different account. And one of the accounts is pagan. He quotes Dionysus, attributes it to his Jesus. And he was beaten to a pulp, blinded by the thing. It took days to recover. He was so badly beaten. Exactly the same kind of experience that Muhammad described. Exactly. Now, with Muhammad, he claimed that at this meeting that is now celebrated as Ramadan, that he was told to either read or to recite in the name of his God, whose name was not given, by the way, and his God started off as Ar-Rahman, not Allah, and that he was told the thing that he had to read or recite, and he said, I'm illiterate, so he couldn't read, was that man was created from a congealed clot of blood. It's not true. A flat-out lie to a man who is illiterate. Yes, what Muhammad was told to do is to read. In fact, that's how the Muslims came to have their book known as the Quran, because Arabic is actually Hebrew. Written Arabic uses the Hebrew alphabet. Written Arabic didn't even exist at the time that Muhammad was asked to read the Quran. There was no Quran presented to him in the Hadith. He was illiterate. And the Quran says that it's been delivered in pure Arabic, and written Arabic didn't exist for another 150 years after Muhammad's death. So all there is this whole giant chasm of lies beyond the fact that the first statement was also associated with the pen that had allegedly written the Quran in the language of Arabic, even though there wasn't a written Arabic, and that the pen is the one that was responsible for all of this, and yet the pen, therefore, was talking to an illiterate man, and that there was no book presented to Muhammad for him to read at the time. I mean, it is so utterly ridiculous. It is astonishing that there are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today, that anybody in their right mind, that if you see a Muslim, you know, associated with a university or in a job that requires some degree of training or education, and they're not able to figure out just how utterly ridiculous, how obviously false their religion is, much less what is inspired by their religion, which is these kinds of acts. Because Muhammad, over the next 10 years, was nothing but an arguer. All he did is bellyache with his neighbors, condemning his neighbors to a horrible torture in hell, while his neighbors, as they are recorded in the Quran, said, Muhammad, come on, you're a complete fraud. And it was obvious to anyone who knew him. Those who knew Muhammad best knew that he was a complete nincompoop. Read the Quran. That's what the first 100 surahs of the Quran convey. Now, terror. Muhammad became a terrorist. The first 10 years of the Islamic era, he led and inspired 75 terrorist raids. The first official act of the Islamic era is the raid on the Quraysh, his own hometown neighbors, where he robbed their caravan. He was murderous. He was sadistic. He was a thief. And the Quran confirms in the 8th surah that Muhammad did all of these things because he was vengeful, because he was abusive, because he was covetous. Now, that was the first of the 75 terrorist raids that Muhammad led. And Muslims today commit acts of terror like this because they're following Muhammad's example, because they were told to follow Muhammad's example. In Kabul so far, 17 wounded people, including a woman and 3 children, were taken to hospitals. It was the second major attack in Kabul since the start of Ramadan. Last week, the militants, these Muslims, mounted an assault on the parliament. As lawmakers prepared to vote on a new defense minister. In the Helmand province, 2 people were murdered. Another 50 were mutilated. The first bomber detonated his explosives, and then when others came in to help, the second bomber blasted himself to Allah. On a related story, this says hardline Islamic State group. They're not hardline. They're just Muslims. The Islamic State beheaded 2 women in Syria. It's the first time that it has decapitated female civilians, at least that Western journalists are aware of. The beheadings took place in the eastern city of Deir al-Zor. One of the women was beheaded along with her husband. Then in Mayadin, a city to the southeast, the Islamic State beheaded another woman and her husband. All 4 were accused of sorcery. Oh, we've come a long way from the Salem witch trials, haven't we? Sorcery. All that means is they didn't ascribe to Sunni Islam. The Islamic State has beheaded local and foreign men in Syria, including enemy combatants, aid workers and journalists, as well as people it has deemed as violating its hardline interpretation of Islamic law. There is no interpreting Islamic law. It's really crude. It's extraordinarily simple. It's based entirely on one source, the Hadith. Now, some would say, well, no, it's also based on the Quran. The Quran is Hadith. The Quran comes to us from exactly the same people, memorized orally exactly the same way, passed through the same group of people to the point where it could finally be written. The Quran and Hadith were committed to writing at about the same time, about 100 years or so after Muhammad's death. Recognizing that Islamic law is derived from a single source, Hadith. Recognizing that by any reasonable, informed definition, the Quran is Hadith, and therefore you're dealing with essentially 5 Hadith sources. They are the Quran, which is oral report, which is an oral report from Muhammad communicated by his companions. The oral reports, which is what Hadith means, of Muhammad's life communicated to us in the biography called the Sirah by Ibn Ishaq, a collection of hadiths from Muhammad and his companions about Muhammad's words and deeds and the words and deeds of the first Muslims. Then you have Tabari's collection of hadith, that's called the Tariq, which is the history of Islam's formation, comprised of the same hadith from the same people, presented also in chronological order, passed along to us the same way as the Quran and as the biography, the Sirah by Ibn Ishaq. Then you have 2 collections of topical hadith, same source, same time, same method of communication from the same people about the same fellow, Muhammad, and his words and deeds. There was one by Muslim and the other by Bukhari. collectively, the hadith contained in those five sources comprise 100% of Islamic law. There is nothing more to it than that. And so, Islamic law is based entirely on what's called sunnah. That is the example of Muhammad's behavior, of Muhammad's words and Muhammad's deeds, which are only found in one place, the hadith. So that is the totality of Islamic law. You don't need to interpret it. Those books are quite clear about how ridiculously perverse Muhammad was. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was a mass murderer. He was a thief. He was an avowed liar. He was a womanizer. He was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was a kidnapper. He was a slave trader. And those are his dominant behaviors when you read those sources. If you do not follow those same behaviors, or if you're repulsed by those same behaviors, you cannot be a Muslim. If you refuse to engage in jihad, according to those sources, you cease to be a Muslim. If you are peaceful, you are an apostate, and you are the very people that these Muslims, the good ones, want to kill. So you cannot have a strict interpretation or a harsh interpretation of Islamic law. If the religion itself is just that perverse, that is why these women are being killed. Several of the group's female captives have also been stoned to death previously after having been accused of adultery and other offenses. In fact, in Islam, if the woman is raped, she will be stoned to death because she committed adultery by being raped. That, again, is how absurd this religion is. If you're a Muslim woman, and you've got to be absolutely stupid, absolutely grotesquely irrational. You're either wholly and totally ignorant, and shame on you, or you're completely and totally irrational. It is impossible to be an informed, rational Muslim. Impossible. The Islamic State also crucified five men in Al-Ma'adin for eating during daylight hours of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. Imagine that. Yes, this is an Islam, so a religion so intolerant that if you eat during the celebration of the pagan month of the most ridiculous claim, the most obviously false claim in religious history. I mean, the only thing that could rival Muhammad's claim to having been inspired by God during his experience where he was terrorized in the cave while practicing pagan religious observances. The only thing that could rival the stupidity of being told that the pen wrote something that an illiterate man was supposed to read that was tortured to the point of almost death, and ultimately said that man was created from a congealed clot of blood, the only thing that could rival that as stupidity would be Scientology. Maybe Mormonism. I mean, that's it. It's the world's dumbest religion. Wake up, folks. How, as they say, smell the coffee. Five people crucified for not fasting during daylight hours, not being religious, not doing this fasting, by the way, during Ramadan, during the daylight hours, purely pagan. It's what the pagan Arabs did. It has nothing to do with monotheism. In fact, none of Islam's five pillars have anything to do with monotheism. They have nothing to do with God. They were all established to worship, to venerate 365 stone gods and a stone pile called the Kaaba, where Allah was the biggest and blackest stone. That's what Allahu Akbar means, is that Allah is the biggest of the stones in the stone pile. I mean, come on. This isn't difficult. If you're protecting this religion, if you're like Rich Warren saying that, well, it's the same God as Christianity, then your God's a stone, for crying out loud. Your God's stupid. Your God's demonic. Your God is vicious. Your God wants people crucified. This crucifixion, all that, and the smiting, the cutting off of heads, all the journalists would have had to have done to recognize this has nothing to do with anything other than fundamental Islam is read the Quran. In the Quran, in the 8th surah, Muslims are ordered to smite people at their neck, to cut off their heads. And then in the 5th surah, Muslims are told to crucify anybody who does not submit to Islam. To crucify them. No matter where you find them, no matter when you find them, no matter the set of circumstances, if they're just being mischievous from your point of view as a fundamentalist Muslim, crucify them. It is Quranic behavior that they're following. Five people crucified, and we can't get people to speak out hatefully against this religion if you don't hate crucifixion, if you don't hate women having their heads cut off. If you don't hate these kinds of things, what's wrong with you? If you don't hate them enough to speak out against them, have you no conscience? Have you no soul? Have you no character? Have you no backbone? You know, what's wrong with you idiots that put a coexist bumper sticker on the back of your car who say, you know, we got too much hate out there. The problem is hate. No, the problem is we don't hate enough. How in the world do you think that we can coexist with those that would cut off women's heads, who would crucify people for not observing their religion? If you don't hate that, then you're incapable of love. There's a time to hate. There's a time to bow your back and speak out and show that you have a conscience, that you have character. There's time to shed your ignorance. Time to stand up. This is the greatest evil that exists in the world today, Islam. Nothing is anywhere close to it. Yes, Christianity is wrong. It's deceitful. It's deadly. It's destructive. It's damning. Yes, Judaism is deceitful. It's destructive. It's damning. Yes, it's true that socialist secular humanism is especially deadly, deceitful, destructive, and damning. But of all of the false institutions of humankind, the single most destructive, deceitful, damning, and violent is Islam. It is extraordinarily abusive to women. I mean, where else would a woman be stoned to death for having been raped? Where else would a woman be beheaded because she won't submit to your particular interpretation of your religion? Where else would you declare war on all of the world and tell people they're authorized to act as terrorists? Why? To follow the example of their prophet, who never got a single prediction right. And here's the Islamic State telling Muslims the world over that they are obligated to engage in jihad and to kill all Shiite Muslims, all Sunni Muslims who aren't engaged in jihad, all Christians, all Jews, and all atheists. Kill them all. You don't even have to identify who they are. Just go off and kill. Don't even have to communicate what your target is. Just go off and terrorize and kill. Folks, when we started Ramadan, I reported that the moron in the White House, the abominator, celebrated a Ramadan festival, talking about how wonderful it is to be a Muslim. And at the same time, virtually on every continent on this planet, in France, you had a worker cut off his boss's head and cover it with Islamic professions of faith. In Tunisia, you had a young Muslim go off and kill students and then shoot his AK-47, blow people away in a hotel. In Kuwait, you had a Muslim suicide bomber go into a Shiite mosque and kill scores of people. All the while, the Islamic State was running amok, crucifying people, beheading them. And at the same time, the abominator celebrates in the White House of the United States Ramadan. The exact same catalyst for every one of these murders and terrorist attacks. What's wrong with us? To the victims of Islam, to celebrate the holy month of Ramadan, were hung by their limbs on the city wall. And children were encouraged to mock them as they suffered in agony. Activists say that the Islamic State uses such punishments in areas where it is present to control the local population through coercion and fear. If they were the least bit enlightened, they would know that the Islamic State uses such tactics and public punishments because the Quran orders them to do so. Read Quran 532 and 533. Read it. Now, they would also know that there has always been one purpose of crucifixion. Crucifixion was invented by the Assyrians and perfected by the Romans. One of the reasons that Yahweh hates Rome so much, and that would include the Roman Catholic Church, hates it with a passion because it's specifically designed to coerce through fear. The torture is so extreme that people are conditioned to go along. You know, there's a lesser degree now with political correctness. If you speak out against the politically correct, which is always errant viewpoint, you are publicly humiliated. You're demeaned. You're spoken of hatefully. And that is painful for a lot of people. People want to be included. They want to belong. They want to be accepted. And so being ostracized and spoken of hatefully by the advocates of political correctness, of socialist secular humanism, is too painful for them to endure. So they'll just go along. Well, for those that aren't manipulated quite so easily, the worst form of coercion through fear is crucifixion. That's why the Quran orders Muslims to crucify their victims. Nothing is more terrorizing or coercive than crucifixion. That's why they do it. That's why the Quran endorses it. This follow-on article says the attacks came one after the other in the space of a few hours, and they can't figure out what the connection is, as we read ahead. In France, a decapitated body covered in Arabic writing was found after an attacker rammed his car into a gas container, triggering an explosion. In Kuwait, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a packed Shiite mosque during Friday prayers, killing two dozen. In Tunisia, a gunman opened fire at a popular tourist hotel, killing at least 37 people. There is no evidence that these attacks were deliberately coordinated, but coming so close together on the same day in three countries on three different continents, they underscored the far-reaching and fast-growing influence of the Islamist group, Islamist State, Western politicians said. These Western politicians aren't smart enough to understand that the common denominator here, it's simple. It was the beginning of Ramadan, of the festival that celebrates Muhammad receiving the Quran. Even though the Quran is the worst book ever written, even though it is mean-spirited, violent, deceitful, deadly, damning, destructive, obviously untrue, murderous, it's a terrorist manifesto. It's a declaration of war. It is the constitution of a criminal enterprise. And in celebration of this immorality, Muslims kill. That's the common denominator. Wake up to that reality. And yet they want to blame it on the Islamic State as if the Islamic State is different than Islam. When the Islamic State is the purest personification of Islam in the world today. IS, the ultra-radical group, it's not ultra, and it ain't radical, which has claimed direct responsibility for the Kuwait attack, clearly now poses a threat far beyond the heartland in Syria and Iraq. You know, there is a appeal to fundamentalist Muslims of the Islamic State that Al-Qaeda never had. And that is that they actually are trying to establish the caliphate. That they actually wholeheartedly identify everything that they do with Islam. That the only source that they quote is the Quran and Hadith. That's it. And that because their name is the Islamic State and not something like the base, they are appealing to lost Muslims the world over. So terrorism is going to get far worse.